College football fans, after an off season that felt a little more off than usual, Fansville and Dr. Pepper invite you to celebrate because college football is heating up and fans are hyped. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year again, the season of Saturdays, when rivalries run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even deeper. So crack open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, warm up your cornhole-tossing arm, and return to glory with an all-new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Remind me to read to you the edits made to a Wikipedia page for an umpire. Very, very good. We'll get to that in a couple of moments. But first, it's time to play Hoodwinked, and it's brought to you by Lou Malnati's. When you want deep dish and sports, dine-in, curbside pickup, and no-contact delivery, Lou Malnati's, the passion runs deep.
All right, Tyler, here we go.
All right, Cap and J-Hood listeners, who's ready for a story? Sit back and relax as Jonathan Hood regales you with tales of frivolity. Did it really happen?
We have been hoodwinked.
Who knows?
Bamboozled, led astray.
Who cares? Be prepared to be
run amok and flat out deceived.
Hoodwinked.
We don't get fooled again.
So this is the bit. This is the appointment that you make at 7:35 every Tuesday with Jonathan Hood. Regales us with a tale. Is he telling us the truth or trying to hoodwink us? Our caller is in Mount Greenwood, and his name is Donnie. And Donnie's up. Hey, Donnie, what's up, man?
What's up, Captain Hoodie?
How you doing?
Hey, Donnie.
We're doing real good.
All right, Donnie, let me hook you up with Lou Malnati's. Are you ready for this story?
We are, yeah.
All right.
As I'm at 63rd and Western, not far from your area.
That's exactly right. You actually are right there in the heart of it. All right.
There you go.
Here we go, Donnie. So Danny and I are at a bar. Danny Zetterman and I are at a bar. We're hanging out after work, and we're ordering some drinks and some food, and we're having some fun. We're wanting to watch the Bulls game. This happens in the winter, of course, so we're watching the Bulls game. We want to watch it. So Danny had a straw in his mouth. He has a nervous habit where he does this during the show as well, kind of put something in his mouth. He's chewing on a straw. A guy comes over, and he was pissed. He didn't want the Bulls game on. He was watching the Blackhawks, and he just wanted to see the Bulls game. And he verbally abused Danny. He was like, you know, why are you guys asking for this Bulls game? And told Danny to take that thing out of his mouth. And I stepped in, and I told that guy, you need to back the blank off because we're just trying to have a good time watching the Bulls, and you come over and try to bully us. And I go, you know what? You need to back off. And that guy backed down, and he left the scene. Did that really happen?
Okay, so Donnie and Mount Greenwood, I know that Hoodie and Danny have hung out because they've worked together for, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 years, well before I got here. And I remember hearing an incident that took place, but I do not believe that it was Hoodie who jumped into the fray because someone else, if I remember this story correctly, someone else was just a little quicker and has a much quicker trigger. Like he goes from 0 to 60 in like 0.8 seconds. He's like a Tesla right off the starting block. So I think it is a variation of a story that I've heard, and it is definitely not true, and he's trying to hoodwink us. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I'm getting this, that if that guy's got the balls to come up the big man like that, I doubt in my mind that that guy's leaving the bar at all, okay? So it might have happened, but I don't think that guy cut out. I think they worked it out. Probably had a drink or something, maybe give the big man a big hug. And I do not believe that's true.
All right, so we are going to file this in as our official entry so Donnie can go to dinner. You're trying to hoodwink us.
Yeah, definitely. I think some of it's true, but I don't think all of it's true. I think if the badass came up to him and said something, I don't think he's just leaving the bar, you know what I mean, with his tail between his legs. I think he's sticking around and, you know.
Well, I just don't hug strangers, Donnie. You know that, right?
Well, like, maybe he's a hugging kind of guy. I don't know.
I'm a Southside guy. You know, we don't hug just strangers, you and I. You understand that, Donnie, right? You and I.
I know. Okay. Maybe it was one of those Mike North bits.
Oh, God.
Well, that's the hope. Speaking of old tropes. So I will say, Donnie, I am hoodwinking you.
There you go, Donnie. You have a great dinner at Lou Malnati's, okay, kid?
Sounds good, Cap. I appreciate it.
Donnie, what's the station just hooked you up with Lou Malnati's?
ESPN 1000.
Oh, God.
All right, there you go.
Hang on a second.
Hang on. We'll get your info and enjoy it, man. Appreciate you listening to the show.
Okay. Hey, good job, guys.
Thanks.
That's always slippery there.
The way I remember hearing this story, some guy in a bar did say, no, I don't want to watch the Bulls game. And Danny chews like on a napkin. Like I was doing my old show. I look up. There's this big white thing hanging out of Danny's mouth. I'm like, what in the F is he? Danny, what are you doing? He was chewing on a big like piece of paper towel.
Sure.
He's Jerry Tarkanian.
He is like
Remember
Jerry
we used
Tarkanian.
To bite on a towel yes. when he was coaching?
Yes. There was water in there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird.
And the truth of the matter is the guy reached over. Danny, is that correct? Tried to pull the straw out of your mouth?
Yes. Let me quote George Michael from the George Michael Sports Machine. Let me take you to Toronto, November 2010. We were there to see the Bears and the Bills.
Tape. Yeah.
Would you remember that?
Yes.
We were there to see the Bears and the Bills in Toronto. It was me, Carmen DeFalco, Sylvie, a bunch of our buddies. We had gone for a nice dinner, and we went to a bar across the street. That was when the Bulls were a really good team, the 2010 season. Uh-huh. And we asked there. The bartender if he would put on the Bulls game. It was me, Sylvie, and Carm standing at the bar. Well, this one dude at the bar was not happy that we asked him to change the channel. And I was indeed chewing on a straw because I have an oral fixation. And the dude came across.
Excuse me?
That's what it's called when you like to put stuff in your mouth. The guy came across the bar and tried to grab the straw out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. Carmen DeFalco, this was in his roid rage days, went 0-90 and just charged. Just charged. Don't you touch him! Leave that straw in his mouth! And that was that.
So I know that Carmen too.
Let me ask you a question. Danny, were you there when Harry was wearing a Blackhawks jersey in the 2010 Stanley Cup final?
Of course. We were in Philadelphia.
And somebody tried to mess with Harry, ripped the Indian head off the front of the shirt, and Yurko got involved.
Yurko didn't really get involved. He just kind of stood up. It's like, hey, what's going on here? There was a security guard there that also got involved. Yurko would have got involved. I did see many times when we were at spring training, Harry get a little bit more intoxicated than he should, and Yurko have to kind of defend him, which is just the greatest when Yurko has to step into action like that. Like, nobody wants you see Yurko sitting down, and you're like, all right, whatever. And then all of a sudden he stands up, and people are like, okay, maybe I'll back off a little bit.
Right. I get the feeling like Carm, because I saw it with the Radiohead thing on the radio one day. He went 0-80 on you. But, like, Yurk, I don't see exploding. I see Yurk just standing up going, you really want to do this?
Yeah, that's the way Yurk rolls.
Right.
Carm used to be a lot bigger, too. Carm's like 155 now, but back in the day, he was like 185 of pure muscle, drinking like 15 protein shakes a day.
Yeah, I saw a picture, I told you, of you with Rex Grossman. I'm like, who the hell is that? Zetterman. What? You were like 30 pounds heavier, and I saw a picture of Carmen. It was like, I'm messing with that guy.
Carm was
like,
a monster.
Now he's this, you know, skinny dad with his kid. No. He's a beast.
Zetterman was a monster.
Yes. Two of them.
He's peace and love now, though.
Peace and love.
But back in the day.
Peace and love.
Yeah, you didn't want to tangle with him.
All right, we're going to get to Matt Nagy. I want to read you one quick tweet. Andrew Brandt was with the Green Bay Packers for many years. He's been an executive in the NFL. He just tweeted, thought on the scene last night in Vegas. Mark Davis, John, come in the office. You're going to resign and we're not paying you anything left on your contract. John, okay, I've got emails from other people that are just as bad. Davis, how about $10 million and nobody sees him? Deal. That's probably out when.
Yeah. My hope is that Davis did the right thing, not because of the distraction, but because it's wrong.
Correct. Because he did what's right.
That's correct.
All right. Matt Nagy is a flipper. Next.
This is Kath and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. That's why I see emergency. Shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
emergency. Shot. No shot. Brought to you by the great people at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook's now open. Teddy Greenstein is cooking up some amazing promos on the PointsBet site. And Paige Sporanek, their big face of the PointsBet Sportsbook, will be in town this weekend for PointsBet. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse, and you can register your account as well. Danny?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Danny?
What up, Hoodie? Happy White Sox Tuesday.
Thank you very much. Can't wait for the Sox to get out there, get this thing tied at two, and take it back to Houston. Cannot wait. I'm on pins and needles. I wish the game would start right now. Ah, it's a little rainy. Wait until 1 o'clock.
Let's finish our show first.
Usually Danny says to you, how you doing? And you go, chilling, chilling. Like I was waiting for that.
No chilling today, man. I'm looking forward to White Sox baseball right here on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino Radio Network.
No, White Sox Network.
It's already implied. It's the White Sox Network. It's already implied.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Danny.
And Sox fans, if you're excited for this game also, you can join Carmen. He's got a Miller Lite watch party at Cork and Carry at the park today. It's at 1 o'clock. Go out, have a drink with Carmen, enjoy yourself. Cork and Carry at the park.
Cork and Carry at the park.
Cork and Carry. It's a cool spot.
Thanks to our friends at Miller Lite.
You know it's cool because the one in Beverly is off the chain, and so right there at the park, spend time with Carm. Awesome. All right, Danny, what do you have?
All right, gentlemen, let's begin with the biggest news of the day in the world of sports. John Gruden, he resigned as Raiders coach in the wake of racist, misogynistic, anti-gay emails. As we know, the Bears beat those same Raiders on Sunday, 20-9 in Vegas. Clearly, that Raiders organization was dealing with more than just football this weekend. So I ask you simply, shot or no shot, the Bears' victory is now diminished, knowing what we know and the fact that the players were clearly distracted.
No shot. No shot. They know what's going on, but again, you can't go at half speed in football. You have to be all in. You practice all week. You have to prepare yourself, prepare your body for a series of car crashes, especially when you're on the line.
Yes.
So I'm not going to turn a blind eye to what happened with Gruden, but I think the players, even though it's in the back of their minds, possibly that their coach could be in trouble, they still had to play the game. They just aren't. Let's just be honest. The Raiders are just not a good football team. If we're going to keep it on the – let's keep it on the gridiron. The Raiders aren't very good under Gruden. They're just not. That's not a good football team.
He's not a good coach.
No.
He's a brilliant offensive mind.
Maybe.
But not a good person, not a good leader of men. And his resume tells you he won with Tony Dungy's guys walking into Tampa. They fired him. And then he was out for a long time. And how did this end? Not well, and he wasn't very good. So, there you go. I'm going to be right there with you.
No shot.
No shot.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen, moving on to our Chicago White Sox. As we talked about yesterday, Sox pitcher Ryan Tepera suggested that the Astros are still cheating. Dusty Baker did not appreciate that accusation. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, the White Sox and the Astros have officially become a rivalry.
That's a shot. When Ryan Tepera says what he said, I'm not saying he's wrong. Yes, it's a rivalry, but it's dulled by the fact that every stadium the Astros go into, inflatable trash cans, cheater signs, all of it. So, and I'm in on all of it because Dallas Keuchel, who I know is a White Sox player now, or Carlos Correa, who may be the next Cubs shorts, I don't have any. Those guys could scream till they're blue in the face. Hey, we won that thing. No, you didn't. That ring on your finger is fraudulent. Period.
Yeah, I will say shot because of nothing else. La Russa and Baker. don't like each other very much. They've had their battles before, going back and forth. They're both competitive. I get that. Maybe they've gone to dinner even in Chicago while they've been there. Who knows? But I don't. When it comes to getting on the baseball diamond and managing against one another, yeah, I mean, they're very competitive. So I could say that's a rivalry just based on the managers. So shot to that, Danny.
All right, gentlemen, sticking with your White Sox, actor John Cusack was confronted by Barstool Sports White Sox Dave on Sunday outside Guaranteed Rate Field. White Sox Dave addressed Cusack about flipping allegiances from the Cubs to the White Sox because obviously the Sox are playing better right now. Cusack quickly put Dave in his place. Have a listen.
I know you did, but
you can't tell me where. I can like wherever I want. Who was the first baseman in 1983?
Was it Ron Kittle?
No. Mike Squires.
Mike Squires.
That means you're off.
But I'm younger than that.
That proves your ignorance.
That's not ignorance.
Yeah, you know who Lamar Odom was?
Lamar Odom?
No, I didn't mean
Lamar. Yeah, of course I
know. You know who Oscar Gamble was?
Yes.
I know all of them.
I know all those guys too.
I think proves your ignorance.
But I mean, you can't. It's all about.
I made a movie about that.
Half the fun about being a fan is being miserable. You can't just go to the Cubs side when.
I went to the ballpark growing up.
But that doesn't count. You can't do that. That's like against the rules. That's the best part of having in Chicago is that you got two teams to root for.
We'll have to agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree, I guess, but I think it's.
You have to live.
Stinks. Cusack, he's banned. He's number one on my ban list. John Cusack is banned.
All right, gentlemen, if you couldn't understand what was going on there, sound wasn't very great. Cusack basically said he grew up going to both parts. Don't tell me how to fan. I made a movie called Eight Men Out about the Chicago White Sox. Basically, White Sox Dave, get out of my face. So I asked you guys, shot or no shot? If you are from Chicago, it is okay to root for a Chicago team if that team is making a postseason run.
Yeah, I
know where you stand, Kathy.
Full disclosure, I grew up, my brother hated the Cubs and was a diehard Sox fan. I hated the White Sox, I was a diehard Cub fan. And as I've gotten older, and I have my brother, I have dear friends that work for the White Sox, like, I don't have that. I can't be that guy, the hatred. Oh, my God, I'm rooting for the Astros. And if you beat them, I'm rooting for the Red Sox. And if you beat them, I'm rooting for the No. Again, if the White Sox win the World Series, God bless them. I work at two stations the White Sox games are broadcast on. My partner, who I love dearly, he's a diehard White Sox fan. Why would I cheer against him? Now, is my heart in it like his is? No, it's not. But I'm absolutely rooting for him. The jersey says Chicago. But if you play the Cubs, I hope you lose 200-0. Am I clear?
Yeah, it is true. You've said that. You've been consistent in that regard. Of course, your dad also told you it says Chicago in the front. You didn't listen to him.
I did.
You had to grow up into it. And you know what? Dad was right.
He was.
He told you that as you and Bruce dad at an early age.
It's such a nonsensical thing. I hate the other. No, stop.
Me personally, I don't hate the Cubs unless they, and I don't hate the Cubs when they take on the White Sox. I root against any opponent against the White Sox.
Right.
Any of them. Cubs, you know, Milwaukee, any team in the America. I'm against any team that takes on my team. My point is, though, is that I've never hated the Cubs. And the reason why is because I'm a grown up with a mortgage. I'm not trying to hate anyone, right? The Twins are the team that I can't stand.
Right.
That's my least favorite team. I can't stand them. So you can root for whomever you like to root for. You can get on any bandwagon. It's your ticket, and it's your fandom. Who am I to tell you who to fan and who to root for? Look, I'm a White Sox fan, and I root against any team against my team. That's the bottom line. But the Cubs, I don't hate the Cubs. Why would I? I watched both as a kid.
Right.
So, and by the way, sidebar, may I approach?
Yes, brought to you by Enken Law. Our guy Howard Enken. You got a legal issue, that's your guy.
It's official now, Danny. We can say it now.
I have no paperwork yet.
Okay, yeah, still no paperwork.
Mike's gone. Nobody's sending paperwork.
Who? Mike Thomas. Don't do that.
I love
the difference maker.
Missed that.
1983. Didn't Pachoric have more starts at first than Mike Squires? You heard Cusack there, didn't you?
Did he have more starts at first?
Didn't he? I'm looking at Baseball Reference now.
You could understand what Cusack was saying there?
Yeah. He was saying that he's asking, like, do you know the starting first baseman in 83 American League Western Division champion?
Right. He said Mike Squires and Lamar. Did he say Lamar Johnson?
He mentioned Lamar Johnson at, like, a different question. But he mentioned, like, Squires.
Right.
Was it Pachoric at the first base majority of the time in 83?
God,
take a look there. Maybe I'm reading this wrong. I know that Pachoric had more at bats. I remember Squires, he could play first, third, and also a left-handed throwing catcher. Do you recall this?
Yes, I do remember him as a left-handed throwing. Spanky, wasn't that his nickname? Spanky Squires? Yes, yeah, I do remember
and
that.
And Spanky Lavallier.
Yes.
I just thought, like, I heard him say that. I thought Pachoric had the majority of the time at first. But
Tom,
I could be wrong.
Pachoric is listed as an infielder and outfielder.
Play a little outfield, a little right field, maybe?
Yeah, I'll have to get you the starts. So I'll look that up while you're on to the next question.
All right, Danny.
All right, gentlemen. The Kansas City Chiefs are under 500 in what certainly qualifies as the biggest surprise of the young 2021 season. The defense is terrible both in the pass and run game. The Chiefs spent a small fortune in cash and draft picks to revamp their offensive line. Yes, yet they can't run the ball worth a lick. Patrick Mahomes has thrown 6 picks in 5 games after he threw 6 picks all of last season. So I simply ask you, shot or no shot, the Chiefs are just a bad team.
Oh, God. No, they're not a bad team.
They're highly overrated. Highly overrated. And that's what happens when you give $500 million to your quarterback. You got to win when they're on their rookie deal. They did just that. But all of a sudden, Mitchell Schwartz is on social media because they can't afford to replace him with an elite tackle and his back is bad. And all of a sudden, Eric Fisher's injured and you got to go sign another guy who's not quite as good. Yeah, that's the problem. They're a good team. They are not an elite team with that defense.
My problem with Patrick Mahomes is that he's loose with the Duke. That's the problem. The Wilson, the Duke. You know that, Tyler, right? The Duke, the official NFL game football. Yeah. He's loose with the Duke. That's my problem.
He's trying to make plays that aren't there.
You can't do that, man.
Agreed.
You gotta, look, you're going to lose games, but you can't turn the football over. Now, Justin's going through this himself, right?
Correct.
But, like, an experienced hand, an experienced quarterback like Patrick Mahomes can't let the ball loose. Like, that's my issue with it. They will straighten it out. Will they be as good as they were last year? Probably not.
Their defense isn't good enough.
Yeah. I mean, they give up a ton. It's looking at you, Spagnola. You got to straighten that out, pal. So, I think that their defense isn't very good, and they turn the ball over too much for my taste. So, they're not a bad football team, but they are underachieving. That's what I would say, Danny.
By the way, Tom Pachoric played in 115 games.
Yeah.
He had 456 plate appearances. He was primarily a first baseman. Mike Squires played in 143 games, but only had 180 plate appearances. He was more of a defensive substitution at first.
That's what I thought I remember. Now, again, I was only 11 at the time, so...
Get glad we cleared that up.
Well, you played the sound!
I played the sound so you could hear White Sox Dave telling him he can't fan for both teams.
We
that's the topic! The topic isn't Pachoric!
Don't worry about it! Don't worry about
now
it.
We're late for nothing!
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on with it! Squires and Pachoric!
I'm out of here!
I'm tired of this! You had enough!
Go ahead, Cap.
Welcome to my life.
All right. What is this guy?
I'm just the calm one in here. What if Justin Fields becomes Lamar Jackson? That, and we go around the National Football League next.
Take that.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap J Hood, ESPN 1000. Hope you're on a good cup of coffee or tea or whatever it is you're drinking. What do you got over there?
Miller Lite. Tastes great. Less filling.
It is.
Tastes great.
Hey, my buddy George, who's a dear friend of mine, one of my closest friends.
Owner George?
Not Owner George.
Oh.
He is also a diehard White Sox fan.
Mm-hmm.
Diehard. He said, please tell Hoodie the first baseman in 83, the main one was Greg Walker.
Are we still doing this?
Yes.
It's enough. Nobody cares.
And he said he did not mention Lamar Johnson because the audio was bad. We'll put that on Danny. He was talking about Lamar Hoyt, who won the Cy Young that year. And they got traded for Ozzie Guillen before he became a drug dealer.
Greg Walker.
Not Ozzie. Lamar Hoyt.
Greg Walker was not the... In 83?
What he said!
You saw the stats. You know that's not right.
I'd have to go back through
it. You see it right in front of you. You know that's not right.
I'm just telling you what he said.
It's either Pachoric or Squires. So you're saying that John Cusack could be wrong? Apparently.
Apparently.
No, I see the Pachoric or Squires. There's no question about that. You were saying about the NFL.
Yes. So what if Justin Fields becomes Lamar Jackson?
And you keep your beak out of it, Zetterman.
I'm done.
All right, well, just keep your beak out of it.
I'm done. Who was playing first base for the Cubs in 1983? Dusty Pachoric?
No, like he was Buckner and then like Durham in 84, right?
Buckner was the starter in 83 and 84 when they brought Durham up and they eased him in.
Yeah, Leon.
Once you could tell he could play, exactly, they traded Billy Buck to Boston.
Yeah, Leon Durham. How about that?
Super. Great.
How about that?
I feel much smarter now.
You keep your beak out of it. Get your beak out of it.
Don't make me come in there.
Okay.
I'm this close to getting up from my chair.
Okay. You were saying
you ain't that guy anymore. You're the skinny, wiry guy now. You're not the steroid-induced muscle man.
Steroid? Wow.
I never took steroids.
But we all could use a little muscle, a little
human growth hormone.
Health hormone.
HGH. Yes. Sorry. Give me some of that.
First day with my new tongue. Sorry. HGH.
Show's off the rails.
Human growth hormone.
There you go.
Sorry.
Anyway.
You were saying about the NFL.
What if Justin Fields becomes Lamar Jackson? Are we good with that?
Well, let's discuss this. So the reason why we bring this up is because we were discussing this in the IDOT bullpen, and they want to remind. Go ahead, read for us.
So what if Justin Fields becomes Lamar?
What about the read?
They got to pay for that.
Okay. Here's the question. The reason why it comes up is because we saw Lamar Jackson play on Monday Night Football yesterday, and we saw a guy, again, a dynamic quarterback that has a very unique skill set, can run with the football, has a powerful arm. It's like sometimes it's like watching him play basketball in cleats, the jump pass as he throws it, 20, 30 yards. So he's got all the intangibles, right? And so the question is, if the ceiling is Justin Fields, if Justin Fields becomes Lamar Jackson, how do you see that? But that wouldn't be such a bad career, right?
No, it would be a great career. I mean, you'd win an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're winning a Super Bowl or not. They were breaking down last night. He made a throw, and Lewis Riddick was breaking down the throw. He had not Hollywood Brown. Who's the really good receiver that they have?
But your point is what?
He had him wide open in the end zone,
mm-hmm.
cutting toward the pylon, and he just made an awful throw. And Lewis said, that's the throw he has to show he could consistently make to take the next step. But when the game was on the line, John Harbaugh said to him, let's go win this with a beep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, let's do it. Bam! Takes you right down the field. His ability to cut and shift and throw on the move, and then the throw for Mark Andrews for the touchdown.
Yes.
Then the throw for the two-point conversion down where only he could catch it. That was a hell of a win, man.
The only reason why we bring it up is because Cap and I saw Indianapolis against Baltimore last night. We're just talking about how dynamic the quarterback Lamar Jackson is. He finished with 14 carries, 62 yards, and 442 yards for his receivers. I mean, so he's got that balance you're looking for, Cap. At first, it was like, oh, he's just a run-first quarterback. He's Randall or he's Steve Young. Or
Dante Culpepper.
Or he's Bobby Douglas, whatever, right? But he can do both. And so for Justin Fields, I want him to be on the run, but also I want him to establish the receivers. We've been talking about this every week now. I want the tight end established. I believe that Kmet can be a very good receiver for the Bears as a tight end. I think he can catch the football. Same thing with Robinson and Mooney. But that's got to be worked out. I want that to be worked out because I want that for Justin.
Yeah, my one concern is if he becomes Lamar Jackson. Like, is Lamar 3 years from now going to physically be able to do with all the hits he takes? He took some shots last night because he's running like a running back. Does he break down quick? And you go, oh, that was a great five-year run, but now his body doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
I want to know that Justin can not put his body on the line to that degree.
Well, the hope is that Lamar Jackson does not have Cam Newton's career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cam was that, he was like Roethlisberger 2.0, big guy that could take a beating, right? Tight end size that could take a beating as a quarterback. And then he became a vegan. Then he became smaller. Then he got more vulnerable to injuries, and he was never the same. Now he's out of football.
Correct.
So I understand your point. Hopefully that, you know, Lamar Jackson, and he's going to run with the football. That's just part of the offense, right? I mean, Harbaugh's giving him the green light.
Correct.
The hope is that he could be able to make do with the years he has ahead of him before he starts breaking down. Because like, you know, people will keying in on him.
Correct.
Yeah.
I look at Mahomes. He can use his legs when he has to.
Mm-hmm.
But he stands back and picks you apart. Aaron Rodgers is more just chained to the pocket. He'll move a little bit. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady, they could slide. They could step up, climb the pocket. They're not going to beat you with their legs. Justin will have the ability to do that more Mahomes-like.
So let me ask you this. So, Tyler, let me ask you this. What is the ceiling for Justin Fields? I agree with Kaf that, hey, you got to be able to be good at with both. And as a college football fan, as I know you are, you saw him at Ohio State, and the guy does have a strong arm and can run. So what is his ceiling as far as his style?
Well, I look at Fields as more of a thrower, and like he can run, but he's not going to have the same quickness that Lamar has. I mean, that's part of what makes Lamar as good as he is. He can flip the field from hash to hash, and that's something that you don't see a lot of quarterbacks with the ability to do. Justin, I think he's more of a straight line runner as opposed to the elusive guy that can sort of cut on a dime and make you miss that way.
So so his ceiling is Russell Wilson?
I would say he's more of a Russell Wilson than a Lamar, yeah.
That makes sense, right? The guy that we were supposed to get via trade.
Who's now maybe done for the year.
Yes.
He had surgery, and there was this report yesterday there might have been a complication with the finger injury. Mm. Like, that's a problem.
Mm.
Big problem. Because who's their backup?
It's
Geno Smith.
Geno Smith, yeah.
They're not winning the Super Bowl with Geno Smith.
They're not?
No. No shot.
Never be a dream killer, man. Geno Smith, you saw him. He turned it around, man. He had people believing in Seattle. You saw that game Thursday night. He turned it around, pal.
They're not winning the Super Bowl with Geno Smith.
Okay.
No shot.
I guess you're right.
Now, if he could keep them afloat till Russell can come back.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if they can pull that off. 312-332-3776. We're going to talk to Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SportsIllustrated.com. And by the way, a high-level executive with the White Sox just texted in. Greg Walker was the main first baseman. Oh, here, Danny.
I thought Mellor was off today.
You're Danny in there.
Oh, my God, enough.
Greg Walker. Yeah, so Greg Walker had 118 games played, 340.
All right, well, up next we're going to go around the NFL with our guy Albert Breer.
Hold on, I have some thoughts on Scotty Fletcher, too. What if it was the Cubs, boy? You'd be there. Well, I mean,
of all that John Cusack audio we played, which you couldn't understand any of it, that's what we're sticking on?
I heard all of it. I understood it.
He wants to break down Manny Trio at second base, if it was the Cubs.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're going to talk to Albert Breer.
What else did Brooks Boyer say?
It was not Brooks.
Okay.
And it was not George.
Gene Honda?
It was higher than that.
Was it Gene Honda?
It was not Gene Honda.
Wait a second. It was Greg Walker.
Take that. All right. Around the NFL with our guy, Albert Breer, and there's a lot to chop up. Tell Danny, warn him now. He's getting held over. We'll be right back.
Greg Walker.